They have it inside.
So we have just entered the American Wing, and I hope to make this tour very, very interactive. So I may not know the answers to all of your questions, but bring up your, you know, observations or any relation that you see with something that you've read would be great. So we're standing, the Met, just for a little bit of a historical context, started in 1870. And it was in a building that was much smaller, but kind of contained within the larger Met that you see today. And then in 1924, the museum decided to create a separate American Wing. And they put it into a building, you have to walk outside, and they put it in a building that was fronted with this neoclassical facade that was actually the facade of a bank downtown. And that building had been torn down. So the bank got the facade and made it the entry to an American Wing. And you can see how big the American Wing was. And then in 1980, the museum decided to vastly expand the American Wing and to envelop this area in a sculpture court in this sort of glass atrium, which is really beautiful. So hence, this is what you see. So we are going to explore mainly paintings from the Revolutionary period in the 1770s through around 1910. Here, or 1899 or so, here in the American Wing. And I'm going to explore a new theme I'm developing for my tour, which is myth-making, as I said, in American art. So the artists, the idea being that the artists and the writers of each of these periods was very much creating an image of America for public consumption and for external consumption. We'll talk about that.
I mean, it's really good what you've got, because the literature that we've studied is in many ways an interrogation of the myths that have created America.
Right. You know, this idea of manifest destiny.
If we look at Salinger, for example, you know, the central character Holden Caulfield, everything for him is phony. He wants nothing to do with the phoniness of the myths that have been created for American people. He wants to stand apart from that.
And so what you see up until the late 19th century is the myth making. And then starting, in the early 1900s, the myth, breaking apart.
Critiqued.
Yeah. Exactly. So in some ways, these two pieces of architecture embody this. We are looking at what I just called a neoclassical building, the Branch Bank Building from 3 Wall Street. It was built in 1824, shortly after the American Revolution, and it was a building style that was considered appropriate for a new republic founded on the values of Greek democracy. So it's a very understated style, linear, simplified, symmetrical. If you look at it, you can almost see how it was constructed. And there are a lot of geometric shapes. And yes.
The pyramids on the top, they look very Greek.
Yes, well, that's the point, is that it's hearkening back to ancient Greece.
Yeah.
And there are buildings all across America that look exactly like this or are based on this style of Greek architecture, which, involves columns, triangular pediments, not absence of ornament and decoration.
So the Americans,
so
the word democracy, which we associate with the American
Revolution, yes,
is embodied in this particular form of architecture.
Exactly.
Because it goes back to the Greek notion of demokratia. Yes.
So in other words, exactly, this form of architecture, which is ubiquitous around America. Every bank at this time, every public building, churches, you name it, public buildings around America were built in this style. And it is a absolute validation of the founding of our country in democratic principles, yeah. which you know is validated by the fact that it goes all the way back to Greece. Okay,
yeah.
The, you know, myth making, right? We, even though we're a new country, we're only at this point maybe 75 or 50 years old. We're rooting ourselves in something very established, which is Greek democracy.
And when you talk about myth-making, we've been pointed out to us that the Statue of Liberty has this great democratic statement about equality for all.
Yes.
And we've been told recently that that statement is going to be expunged.
Sadly. Yes.
Let's not go there.
We won't go there, because I might start crying.
Yeah.
All right, now, we're pivoting to something, a form of architecture that couldn't be more opposite. If you look at the four columns and the architecture that surrounds it, what would you say the differences are?
Color.
Right.
Embellishment.
There's nothing of that in this Greek, you know, classical building. And this is the loggia, or front porch, of Lewis Comfort Tiffany. And many of you may have heard of Tiffany's, the store. He was the son of the scion of the Tiffany store. He branched out on his own and created, he's most famous for his Tiffany glass lamps and other glassware. He designed this loggia for his country home on Long Island in Cold Spring Harbor. What is he doing with this? Well, he has the columns that are reminiscent of the Greek classical style, but he's blown it apart, right? He has added color. He has added beautiful floral forms to it. And Tiffany was a wonderful botanist. He loved nature. He has also, he was influenced by Indian culture and Muslim culture from around the world. So he brings those influences, those Byzantine, as they were called at the time, influences into his art. And the most beautiful part of this, in my view, is the blue mosaics at the very top. Tiffany invented he took glass making to an entirely new level and added in an iridescence to his art that that was very novel at the time, using chemicals and metals and all sorts of stuff. But what he's created in terms of a whole is an image that is very organic. And what we see in this transition is something that happens in American art and architecture, which is slavishly looking to Europe for our inspiration for everything, to a time, and this is 1912, when American architects such as Frank Lloyd Wright, such as Tiffany, are beginning to create their own ideas about how to design, and they're breaking away from the European influence and creating their own style that evolves out of the landscape and ideas and philosophies in America. So that's not myth-making as much as it is, American artists coming into their own. So now we're going to go back about 100 years to see a portrait of George Washington. So okay. Follow me.